As we continue celebrating this wonderful month of the Communion of Saints, we have celebrated the Feast of All Saints. We have celebrated and continue to celebrate the commemoration of the faithful departed. Of course, remember it says faithful departed, not all the departed, the faithful departed. We cannot and must not pray for those who have lived and died in such a way that they have condemned themselves to hell. They are really forgotten like the unremembered dead. Will we pray to the saints in heaven, reigning with the Most Holy Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the other saints beneath the most holy and wondrous Trinity? We cannot possibly imagine the wonder of the Trinity. They are looking at him and worshiping him and being filled with his glory. They triumph in the fact that they have made it to the reason for which they and we have been created. And then, of course, the souls in purgatory, which are the many, the multitudes of people who are living good lives but have not paid their debt to God. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, every sin, whether it is a thought or a feeling in your heart or an attitude or a word or an action or lack of action, most sins are sins of omission. The good that we should have done and we did not do it for whatever reason, doesn't matter. It's still a sin. All of those actions demand that we pay back our debt. And of course, that is what the souls in purgatory are doing and what we can help them do by our suffrage, our prayers, our masses. And of course, in a sense, St. Paul speaks of this in the Epistle to the Romans. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. And then, of course, he lists some of the sins, and the souls in purgatory, and the souls of the church militant on earth, that is, we have those sins, one or the other, or all of them, perhaps. That debt must be paid. And that is what it means, owe no man. There is a debt. In Latin is nemini quidam, quidquam de beatis. The word is to owe in the sense of the debt. And we will have our debts. Do not think for one second. And there are some people, the heretics, think that when you die, if you've been a practically good person, and, you know, for them, the only sins that are really, really bad are murder, maybe theft, maybe adultery, but murder is their number one thing. Of course, that doesn't keep them from supporting things that have to do with the murder of infants in the womb. That's murder, too. But, oh, no, we don't touch that. Well, we do. So, for them, you know, they go straight to heaven. He's in a better place. She's in a better place. Yes, right. Whenever I hear that, I think, oh dear, what absolute nonsense is this? How do they know? You know, 1 second in purgatory is more painful than all the pains that we have suffered on this earth for 70, 80, 90 years. Imagine that. And so we need to remember that we need to live a good life in every which way, inside and out. Not just what people can see, but that which only God and the Blessed Mother can see. And that is not always easy. And so They think that people go straight to heaven, a better place. But the Catholic faith, from the time of the apostles, from the time of Christ, and even predicted in the Old Testament, particularly, but not only in the books of the Maccabees, says otherwise. There is a place of purgation, casartarium in Greek, purgatorium in Latin, a place where we are cleansed. Now, not a place where mortal sin is cleansed. If you die in the state of mortal sin, it's over. If you are in a state of mortal sin, not only are you not supposed to receive the sacraments, especially the most holy sacrament of communion, but also you cannot enter heaven. That's it. There's only one way to go. Mortal sin is to be avoided. Owe no man anything except to love one another. And then, of course, some of the things. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there's any other commandment, he's not listing all of them. Neither are we. Don't do it. Not only that which others can see, but that which others cannot see. The spiritual life is not for babies. Well, maybe it is, because once they're baptized, they go straight to heaven where they too die. But not you and me, unless we're baptized just now. And that is the teaching of the church. But for the rest of us, we have to wait X number of years, during which we shall commit a plethora of sins, for which we shall have to pay the debt. And the only place to pay the debt in this life, by gaining indulgences, by gaining graces, by getting the sacraments, especially confession and the Eucharist in the state of grace, in the next life, purgatory. And then, of course, it's again not an easy thing. I consider myself that if I die and go to purgatory, I will be very, very happy, because I know there is no other place to go but heaven. If I don't go to purgatory unless I go to heaven, which I doubt, maybe I will, who knows. If I put up with you, that should lead me to heaven. But if I do not go to heaven or purgatory, I don't even want to think about it. Our Lord himself said it would have been better. He said it about Judas Iscariot. And yet there are some of these prelates that are saying Judas is their hero. What is this nonsense? I can name a few, but I won't. They have to answer to God. That in itself is a sin, a very serious sin of heresy. So, our Lord said it would have been better for him not to have been born. Now that is quite a thing. And he's not talking about abortion. He's talking about being created in the womb of our mothers and living. And so, that is something that we need to do. Now, the gospel is in a different vein, but at the same time, it's something that we need to remember, especially those of us who live in the church of this day and age. There is so much disaster, so much heresy. One cannot even fathom it. Somebody was telling me they had traveled and they went to a mass, and the priest seemed to be very good. Oh, he's a good, jolly good fellow. And he received communion. Hopefully it was. And then after he received communion, he did like this. That is sacrilege. Why do we keep our fingers together? Why do we purify them after communion? Why do we not just touch anything and everything? And I'm sure he did not mean anything bad. One, he was not taught, and that's the big problem. And that is why we thank for those seminaries, and I will not mention them, you know, that are teaching the truth. And second of all, maybe, God forbid, he does not believe. So many people receive communion on the hand, and they do the same thing too. Is that not the Eucharist? Is that not Christ? Do you think the Blessed Mother received communion like that? One of my favorite windows at the shrine of Our Lady of Prompt Succor is Our Lady kneeling in front of St. John the Evangelist, receiving communion on the tongue. So you see, there's so much disaster. And then, if you're like me, every day I ask, Lord, how long is this going to go on? Quo ut quitandem Domine? How long, O Lord? How long? And so the disciples, the apostles, said the same thing to him. They were about to sink. They were about to perish. Quo ut quitandem Domine? Wake up. Look at us. Look at how we are perishing. We are about to drown. But we need to have faith. It's not easy at times. Not at all. And of course, our Lord was allowing all this to happen. He is allowing all this to happen too. Believe you me, it would not be happening if our Lord did not allow it. One, it's punishment for the wickedness of Catholics through the centuries, especially popes and bishops and priests and religious. Many of them are in hell. And then it would not be happening if we did not deserve to be punished. It is a punishment. In my case, I know that my scope of vision, other than the fact that many hundreds of persons listen to my sermons online, even in Europe, in Asia, in South America, that there's many places I cannot go anymore. I cannot go to a church where Jesus is trampled. And when you do like that and like that, what do you think you're going to be walking on the next minute if Jesus was on your hands? And so it's a great source of suffering. In that sense, for us who believe, the church is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller until God says enough, and it explodes with both punishment and glory. I hope I'm still alive when that happens. But if not, I hope I will see it from heaven. What are you going to do? Where are you going to be? In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.